Hey everybody, welcome to Surface Level, creating a community where Black and queer folks are fearless in thought and curious at heart. I'm one of your hosts, Damon, and today, Jordan, Tony, and I are discussing the evolution of friendships over time. This is We Can't Be Friends 2.
We Can't Be Friends 2.
So today we're going to have a fun little chat about friendships and how they evolve. So today's game is themed on friendships that maybe don't last. It's called It Ain't Nothing to Cut That Bitch Off.
Ooh, it ain't nothing to cut that bitch off. Hey.
So I'll give you a scenario and you tell me what you do.
Okay.
All right. You loan someone some money. They keep saying they'll pay you back, but it doesn't happen.
Ooh.
Are you moving on? Are you cutting them off? Jordan?
You know, there's so many variables here.
Don't play with mother's budget.
don't play with my budget. I'm not going, unless it was a lot of money, I'm not cutting you off. I'm just never trusting you with borrowing money in the future. Mm-hmm. But you could still be my friend.
Yeah, there's a lesson that I think we've probably all heard is which you don't loan money that you can't afford to loan and that you don't expect to get, or that you
can't afford to lose.
Yeah.
Right.
So I think that's the way that I would approach that. And I'm not going to cut them off, but bitch is definitely giving, like what Jordan said is like, I'm never loaning you. I can't loan you anything else. I can't.
It's a wrap.
Damn. Yeah. You fucked it up.
Yeah. I just feel like if I can't just give you the money, then I probably won't. Cause I don't even want to do that loan bullshit back and forth with people. Like, I'd rather just, if I have it, I'll give you, I'll support you, but and then if you give it back, great, but like I don't want to go through the foolishness.
Yeah.
All right.
So I want my money back.
So so you like doing a bunch of really expensive activities.
Yeah,
but you got a friend, they're a little cheap, they can't do it. Are you adjusting your plans or are you cutting them off? Tony. The playing queen over there. She's the new activity queen. Used to be Jordan.
If it's a friend of mine, like I can do activities at that friend's budget level to spend time with them, but I'm still going to do the things that I want to do that are outside of my friend's budget. They just won't be included. Or if I am feeling generous and I have like that kind of money, it's giving like, girl, I got you, girl. Mm-hmm. You know, I got you, girl. Mm-hmm.
You got me, Tony.
I got you, girl.
You got
not
me.
Today.
Not today. Maybe tomorrow.
Maybe tomorrow.
Maybe Monday.
Maybe Jordan. Monday.
I mean, I don't have a much different answer. I have recently been subsidizing my friends' experiences a little bit more than I've had in the past.
It's been really nice, I must say.
Yeah, right? Mm-hmm. You noticed it.
I love it. I love it.
It's a new... Somebody come take care of me.
Honey, well, girl, you should have moved.
You moved to Jersey City.
You moved to the wrong time.
Oh, mother.
I'm in the city like 4 days.
Jordan has
the
been
girls
taking...
Are so fucking full of shit.
Jordan has been taking care of me, honey.
Exactly.
I live,
you don't honey. Get, you don't get Venmo charges like you used to.
No, it's different. It's real different over here. It's a whole lot of money in this motherfucker.
You used to hit the door and Jordan sent you a Venmo charge.
But yeah, I mean, but I still like, that's a drink here and there. That's a cab here and there. Mm-hmm. I'm not paying for like the full experience. So if you can't keep up, then we're going to have to do something that we can both do.
Yeah.
Full, like, what you call it? Flat footed. And then
going Dutch. Going every, like.
Right. And then when I want to do something a little bit more, I have other friends.
A little more razzle dazzle.
Yeah.
All right. So you communicate a deep secret to a friend. They share it with another person in hope of getting advice to help you. Is this something you understand or are you cutting them off?
Jordan. Oh my goodness.
Listen.
I tried to make them a little hard.
Listen, listen.
That one made me.
If you are talking about my secret shit behind my back, please don't let it get back to me. Because in this moment, it's literally ignorance is bliss.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, okay, sure. You talked to another friend about my private business because you were trying to help me.
But you trying to help me.
But
quote unquote.
But if that other friend come to me, like, yo, I want to talk to you about X, Y, and Z, it makes it really difficult for me to like,
yo, you would lose all the color. that you have. It would just be like, what?
I'm not going to cut that person off, but you know, I'm definitely going to be like, we need to be a little bit more clean with this. Why are we getting messy?
Tony.
I'm messy boots. Yeah, I like, I would take a moment of introspection and say, what have I done to make someone that is near and dear to me think that it was okay for you to share something I shared with you in confidence? So
what
have I done?
What have I done?
She was like T'Challa, then she was a British person. Like,
and then she was me.
Because I'm just like, I'm thinking like, in what world would you think that would ever be okay? That mm-hmm. I would be okay with that. And then to gag when someone comes in, you know, if that happens.
Yeah.
So you would be really lucky if it didn't, but if it did, it would make me not trust you.
Yeah. I agree. I think it's about making smart decisions. Like if like for instance you share something with me and like I go home and talk to my partner about it and I'm like, hey, I'm trying to help my friend, that's one thing. Mm-hmm. But if you just running out to some random, you drunk at happy hour right now, and now you know what such and such told me, what you think? Now we gotta fight.
You'd be surprised that happens more commonly than
and,
me,
you know, and that's why I don't tell these.
Wow.
Next.
I do not want to be at the Four West or the Lambda or the
Hello
or Next or any of those places.
And now you on Trappy Cam.
And now I'm on Trappy Cam.
Telling secrets.
Having a fight.
All right. So you go into business with someone that you are friends with and they are an awful partner. They miss deadlines. They're always late. Are you separating the worker from the friend or are you cutting them off? Jordan?
They got to get out. No, I mean we could still be friends, but
friendly.
Friendly.
But that's just goodness. Like, no, don't sign up for things you can't do. And don't waste my damn time. More importantly. I would have a really, really hard time with that. If there was a lot that was lost,
mm-hmm.
if it was just kind of like we were trying to figure something out and then you just didn't do anything, it's just like, all right, well, we'll never do this again. But if we got to a point where it's just like the girls are taking out, you know, PPE loans, is that what it's called?
I don't know, a lot of girls going to jail from the pandemic.
All right, and like we just weird things going on with the business. No,
mm-hmm.
You gotta go.
Don't mess with mother's budget.
Please don't. Yeah.
I think it becomes a traumatic experience, and it's really nasty. You're mm-hmm. you're a very nasty person, and when it gets that way, it's just like it's hard to
unsee it.
It's hard to unsee it.
I can't.
It really is mm-hmm. because that's all you can think about moving forward.
Right.
So it'll take time mm-hmm. to really heal from that, and then you can reflect and laugh about it later on. But
I ain't laughing with these motherfuckers. All right, last one. Your friend gets into a physical altercation, defending your honor. Are you saying thank you? Or are you cutting them off? Jordan.
A friend gets in a physical fight defending my honor?
Mm-hmm. I knew this one was good. I said, what is good?
This is tough because I just really don't like the fist of the fightings.
Yeah.
Ooh. And
fist.
I just feel like, I mean, it's one thing if somebody like knocked my ass out.
Oh.
Like, okay, if you knocked them out, like, okay, great. I love that. But if I'm having like a like discourse with somebody and you mm-hmm. decide to turn up and turn it into a brawl,
mm-hmm.
like, what? Like, I don't know. Like, now I feel like, you know, there's always going to be people that talk shit to me. So like, you can't fight them all. We just have to, just ignore them and just like, you know, go to the next location and have like, you know, like a different vibe, where there aren't haters around. But like, no, yeah. I mean, seriously, I would have to have a conversation with them after that. If it was an unprompted fight, I don't like that.
I mean, if you were defending my honor, I'm going to definitely say thanks because I'm not the one that's going to fight. And if it came to that, I stick around the girls that do fight. And so so that to me is like, you know what, girl, since you did that for me, we gonna have a kiki. I'm a do something to repay you. And I feel like that's a good friend.
I'm with Tony. Would you say last season you get the right to say whatever you want, but you also got the right to get your ass beat? Sometimes people need their ass beat, and you sometimes need a friend that's going to whoop some ass.
Yeah.
The end.
It's important.
No, we can just, you know, let it roll off the shoulder and just walk away.
Mm-mm. I was gonna roll off the shoulder. Your shoulder gonna hit the floor. Then knock
you the fuck out. Dislocated. Shoulder.
All right. So today's conversation is around evolution of friendships, how they change over time, some personal things in our relationship that we're gonna hint on. But we're going to kind of start here. So when thinking about spending long periods of time with people, do we think that growing apart is a problem that should be fixed, or is it something that's natural and should be accepted over time? Tony, let's start with you.
I feel that people grow together and people grow apart. Mm-hmm. And it's just a natural course of like life and changes that happen. And so, you know, for example, actually, before we even get started, I have some very vital information.
Let me see my notes down.
Because what's interesting is that research found that up to 70% of close friendships and 52% of our social networks dissolve after 7 years, which I thought was interesting. Mm. And so they say, they also found that our social context, school, you know, or college, high school, college, jobs, neighborhoods, those are a big factor in determining our friendships too.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
And so when those mm-hmm. change, so do our friendships.
Yeah.
And then another thing that it said is like another factor can be the accumulation of small ruptures in trust or disappointments that have gone unresolved. And so friendships can get caught up in unhealthy cycles that increase that sense of disconnection and hidden hurt. Mm. So those two things all kind of really sum up how I feel about friendship and how the things that affect them lasting versus not lasting. Mm-hmm. And I also think that friendships is like a garden. If you don't water your garden, the fruit won't grow. And sometimes, mm-hmm. you know, it's salvageable, but sometimes you got to throw the garden away.
The fruit fried.
And you got to start a whole new garden with some fresh fruit. And that's just the way you know, of life, it happens. And so,
Jordan, anything? What's going on in your garden?
So, what's going on in your garden?
So, I mean, I think this is on a case by case basis. I mm-hmm. think that when friends grow apart, making the decision to fix it or to just allow it to naturally grow apart, I think ultimately this like depends on whether or not you feel like it's a friendship worth investing in. Mm-hmm. I think that, to your point with the research, Tony, mm-hmm. yeah, like things like a change in geography, a change in occupation, a change in all these things, you know, could be factors that sort of like take you away from people who you may have spent more time with. But I do think that it's helpful to check in and take inventory of your friendships every now and then and say, okay, even though I'm not spending as much time with this person, or this relationship isn't as convenient, or because we've had this tension, do I think that this is something that is worth keeping and worth fighting for and worth fixing? Mm-hmm. So I think it just depends on the person. Like, I think that if we all just sort of like allow friendships to just dwindle away, like whenever you feel like there was no stimulation or that it wasn't like, you know, growing with you, mm-hmm. I think that we would probably end up being in a situation where we didn't have really many friends. Mm.
I mean, some people like those the situation to be that way, not having many True. Friends.
Well, when I say many friends, I'm not talking about like a sea of friends, you mm. know, like I'm not interested in that. But I think that, you know, I think that friendship requires work, and yeah. I don't think that it should be treated like, okay, it's not convenient for me right now, or it's kind of like feeling like it's not in alignment completely with where I'm at. So I'm gonna just let that one fall by the wayside. Mm-hmm. What I'm saying is that like, if you take inventory of it and you decide that it's important, then, you know, give it an effort and try yeah. to fix it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think there should be a level of respect for cycles of growth and experience and where someone is and where people are collectively. Mm-hmm. And I think that it doesn't have to be that you're upset because at this point we're further apart. We're like shooting off fucking fireworks because at this part we're very, very close. I think that when you know people closely, you kind of respect their core. And I think there are all these environmental factors, to Tony's point, that will kind of shape what the day-to-day interaction is. And I think that I don't know. I just try.
Listen, just because you moved to Jersey City don't mean.
Well. I'm not gonna tell these people where I'm at.
Listen, ooh, you in Jersey City. You was in Harlem before. Ooh. Now you in Jersey City.
Don't matter.
All right. I mean, all right. So, understanding how we will move with like friendships that will grow apart. Let's sort of talk about like personal experiences that we've had. I'm curious to know what has been the biggest trial in our friendship, like the three of us, and how we overcame that. Tony?
Well, it's y'all's story to tell. If we're really going to get into it. Yeah, that's not a question that it's for me, but it's not of me. I was in it, not of it.
You was in it too.
It really has a lot to
you
do.
You was in it too, Tony.
With
that's what she said.
With you guys. So for everybody, like, listen, there was a point in time very recently. We got through season four. What, season three was the dark ages for
what gonna be the most surface level
for the surface level girls.
As y'all know it.
There was a rift, a divide. I was the bridge in the divide. But I think you guys should tell that story. And that I feel like that was probably because I don't necessarily like my biggest trials, if I could think of something off the top of my head with like any of you guys, was like a basic argument that over some simple shit like Damon spilled a drink on my damn red wine on the damn couch. And one time I think with Jordan, it had to do with like when we were very younger and like still.
I remember that.
Doing high school games. I don't even remember exactly what it was, but I felt
I remember.
You either was going out and then didn't invite me to something. And I was like, bitch,
it was the birthday.
What's the tea? Right. And then I showed, right. That's what it was. He tried to do some roundabout way of inviting me to a thing that I got invited to
if you are doing expensive friend things and your friend cannot participate.
Oh, well, I wasn't even thinking about that, but that's also an example. But like, those are considered trivial. I don't think those are big like trials. Now, what you guys had was a trial and tribulation and turbulence and all those things. So I have my two cents to contribute to it, but I wanted to start with there so that people have like the framework and the context.
No, you know what? I can start. I think when you've known somebody for as long as we've known each other, like I've known Jordan for like almost 15 years now. You for similar amount of time been friends for maybe 10, or a little more than 10. And I think you get to a point where you think, not think, but for the most part, you know the things about the person. You know how they respond to relationships when they get in one and when they break up and what they need from you. You know how they move professionally and what support they may need. You know how they want to party and just hang out. You know when they're being bitchy and how to respond to that. And I think I like went through a scenario where like I was the first person in our group to lose a parent. And that was a net new experience. And I think there were a lot of, I would say, expectations in how people, you think somebody's going to respond based on all the things you think you may know about someone. And I think that for you and I, we got into a place where, like for more context on our friendship, like my father, we've talked about this on the podcast, passed from cancer. But like when I found out about it, I like was at a nail salon when he first got sick, left, went to Jordan's, was my person. Like that's where like my first step was. And I think that we spent the time of that year or so from him being diagnosed and passing and then some time after kind of going back and forth on like expectations I had, who you are as a person and where you were and how those things weren't gelling. And I think that my like losing a parent is a thing that like was grossly traumatic. Was not something I don't think anybody's ever prepared for. I surely wasn't prepared for. And I think that it was a scenario in which I would say, like, you weren't prepared to support me. And I think that I gave set expectations that were, like, maybe too high for how anybody should support a person. And it created a shit ton of tension between us. And I mean, What season were we recording?
That was three? Season three.
Podcast?
This actually started with season one.
Well, yeah, it started in season one.
It went through season three.
But season three was really when I was nervous about the
we weren't even hanging out.
Not even the podcast. Only, I was nervous
only
about
for recording sessions.
The whole group I was nervous about.
Yeah, no, I remember doing Beyond the Surface Level, walking out of here, saying goodbye, getting in a cab. that was enough.
And just like that.
And just like that. Get the fuck out of here. I don't know, Jordan.
So I think that, you know, starting this podcast, beginning of season one, you know, things were sort of just as they've always been, with our dynamic and then, you know, Tony dynamic as well. And it was really towards the end of season one where, you know, your dad's health was declining and it became a more tense environment. And I felt like I just completely like miscalculated and just like didn't really like address the situation the way that you needed me to. I'm not ashamed to say that I'm a particularly avoidant person. I do not feel comfortable at all around like emotions of distress. And it's just not something that I've ever had to deal with. Even when I've had family members in my own family growing up, like we never talked about it as a family. No one ever really truly mourned. I've never seen my mom cry before, ever. I've seen my dad cry once when our dog died. But I personally, so when you were coming to me and you were sharing with me what was going on with your father, my reaction was, okay, like, let me figure out how I can like take your mind off of it and let me see how I can sort of like be here for you and be like present, like in terms of like just physically present, but not like, and you know, when you did actually speak up and you were just like, no, like, I need you to like bring this up proactively. I need you to like check in on me and ask me about it. That seemed like such a simple thing in hindsight, but in that moment, I still didn't know what the fuck to say. You know, like I would see you and I'm just like, is he having a good day? Is he having a bad day? If I bring this up, is it going to make it worse? Like, you were really, really emotional too. I never knew when you were going to cry or when you were okay. And for me, I just didn't really know how to navigate that situation. So instead of just doing what you told me to do, I overthought it and I ended up not doing anything at all. And it drove a wedge in our friendship. And then we have very different expressive styles. and, you know, when you're frustrated about something, you like are very emotive and you like express it. And you say everything you have to say. When I feel, you know, disappointed with somebody or when I feel like I'm upset with the situation, I completely shut down and I leave the situation. I talked to Tony about this as well. You asked me about advice, you know, before, and I was telling you, I was like, thank you for calling me, because I'm definitely like that. but that didn't help anything because we would have these planning sessions for the podcast, and then we would plan for the podcast, and then something would happen where we would just be at each other's necks. And I was just like,
I think, you know, it's like, how do I explain this for people that don't know us? Because I think we have to be thoughtful of our listeners. Jordan and I are exceptionally good at pressing each other's buttons. Back to knowing each other.
You know the ones to press.
And nothing upsets me more than someone not reacting, and nothing upsets Jordan more than someone overreacting. And so then it was just like this game of chicken where we were both like doing that to one another, and it would just get like more and more toxic, more angry, more reclusive, more angry, more reclusive. It was just like, what the fuck are we doing
a
here?
Snowball.
It really just got to a point where we were like working and not speaking.
Yeah. I mean, it was definitely a lot of tension in the air for those podcast planning sessions. And even in the studio, if you go back and look, you guys weren't even sitting next to each other. I don't think.
No, I wouldn't.
I in the middle?
Demond didn't even look at me. And luckily we didn't have video from seasons 2 and 3.
There's a Beyond the Surface Level.
There is a Beyond the Surface Level, but Demond only looked at Tony when he was answering his questions. And I was just sitting in the studio.
There was a last question on one of the episodes, the Beyond Surface one. It was like, oh, what are you like really happy about that like your hosts do or something? And I was like, I have a joint answer. And I appreciate how you like developed the community. Like, really, that was about Tony. I was in like, and you knew that. Everybody knew that. Mm-hmm. It was just like, I was so fucking furious. I was just like, I'm not saying nothing positive about this nigga.
I don't even know. I don't know how we got through that season, but I do want to say, and I prepared a couple, I had to organize my thoughts on this because there was a lot going on. And so for me, I oftentimes find myself in the middle seat. And it's like that Naomi Campbell moment. Like, I don't really want to be here. I was made to be here. This is a big inconvenience for me, but I'm in this middle seat. And I generally don't like to take sides, especially when I don't have a dog in the fight. And I feel like I'm equally yoked. Like I'm usually, well, for especially with you guys, like my loyalties lie on both sides. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so what I do try to do though is be fair and listen and give like my honest feedback when we have conversations separately. And what I found over time is that it's an important role that I have, that I play, that person in the middle. It's giving like mediator, it's giving, you know, diplomacy. And I realized that it's important to be a bridge in the divide. And that really struck with me because I am that girl. Like I can lean into that. And it's a role that I think a lot of friendships have where there's that person that go between. And I think, and this was really important for me because it wasn't really until Jordan was explaining to me, I think it was like season three before we did season four, and he was venting to me and going off, and he was basically like, I don't know if I want to do this next season, X, Y, and Z. And so what he told me, he was like, Tony, like, I felt like you really could have like helped the situation. And I didn't understand at the time like what he meant, but it stuck with me that he was basically saying, you're that person that is in between Damon and I. You have this relationship where you can you somehow are able to bring us together and get us to talk and also get us to hear each other. Because sometimes when you guys are arguing, I'm like, okay, what I think Jordan is saying is this. What I think Damon is saying is this. And so because I love you guys' individual relationship as much as I love the whole, I really learned a valuable lesson of like the importance. I used to feel like I was just like in the middle of some shit and like,
right,
you know, kind of like overshadows just me and being around. But it's not. It's actually a really important role to play.
I also think, like, I think the second part of the question was, like, how do you overcome it? And I think, obviously, like, we've talked about some of the tough parts of that time. I think a thing that I was really important for me was just understanding, like, people are constantly evolving and learning, and, like, not to take for granted and say, like, I know everything about this person.
Mm-hmm.
You may know everything about who I am today,
mm-hmm.
but I could be someone else tomorrow.
Yeah,
I'm having new things. I'm experiencing new things. I'm reconciling experiences that I've had with my family. And like in your case, like we had some in-depth conversations about how your family's dealt with grief and like me just understanding that, which like most people, grief is not something that typically just comes up while we're hanging out having wine. Mm-hmm. And I think that to me was a learning experience. And two, I've talked about this previously when I talk about the ex-partner I had that we were in a relationship that became abusive. It's just that I've talked about forgiveness and healing and understanding we've talked about like my personality and me just becoming angry and all these things. Like who wants to hold on to that and be that way?
Yeah.
And it takes a special amount of work to actually be that way to someone you care about.
Mm-hmm.
And at no point, I would say, in all of the pissed offness that I was, like, did I not care about you? And I think that was a thing that it requires a level of work. It's just like, I'm gonna be pissed off at this nigga and I still love you, but fuck you. And it's just like, who wants to like go through that cycle over and over and over again? And I think it was a thing for my own healing. You know, somebody asked me something. They were just like, I know that. Someone asked me one time, they were like, why aren't you upset? I was like, well, because a lot of my upset and my hurt and my feelings are tied to my father. And it's a very sensitive thing for me. And they were like, well, would your father want you to be holding on to this negativity towards Jordan in his name?
Mm.
someone asked me that, I was just like, fuck.
Okay. Then you came undone.
No, okay. Undone. No, for real. And for me, like that those were all parts of it. And we had a conversation in like, were we in the park, Central Park?
Yeah. Where like it was, because I think just... one of the things was like, you guys realized like, in order to like, what are the next steps? I remember us sitting in Damon's old apartment,
mm-hmm. yeah,
and being like, how do we move forward? And it was like, okay, we need to spend time together outside of the podcast, alone, mm-hmm. you two,
yeah.
And then you did that, and it was nice.
We made it nice.
You made it nice.
Oh, it was. It was. I mean, I think that, you know, my defense mechanism is to just like avoid conflict, mm-hmm. and to basically like showcase this like this display of like disinterest, or mm-hmm. just like
unbothered,
right?
Unbotheredness.
But like that rift in our friendship really bothered me. Like, it was something that I thought about like every day, mm-hmm. and then on top of that, you know, like, I saw that like Tony was spending a lot of time with you, mm-hmm. and I didn't feel like he was spending enough time with me. And then
you in it too, Tony.
He said, "Bitches, the both of you."
But like for me, I was in this weird place where I was just like, I'm pissed off at Tony, but like I can't tell him because I get why he is being there for Damon, because I feel like that's the right thing to do if you had to choose a friend. Mm-hmm. Like, I understand the decision to support Damon if you had to make a choice. But for me, I was just like, now I'm on this fucking island. I feel like I'm not friends with Tony and Damon. Mm-hmm. We have to come into this fucking recording studio and record episodes. And it was just like a literal mind fuck. And I was just like, it really took a mental toll on me. And it was like, it's so crazy because like when we were going through our sort of like catastrophe, mm-hmm. That's when I really like stopped drinking, started working out, like reading all of these books. Like, I literally felt like I had to do all these things to like distract me from the fact that like one of my closest friendships was falling apart. Mm-hmm. And I didn't even know how to express that I cared, because I felt like every time that we were together, it turned into like a blow up. Mm-hmm. And yeah. And every time it happened, I just like kind of like, slowly detached. And I'm happy that like, that I actually like finally decided to go over Tony's and be like, you know what? I'm about to talk to you. And I laid it out for you. Oh, like, bitch. I feel like I went off.
When I say,
I wrote it out. I wrote notes.
It was a rehearsed read.
And I was like, and another thing. And when you did
I was just laying across the bed. And when I say,
I'm like, I'm gonna scream at you because I can't scream at Damon.
And then she left the apartment swiftly thereafter.
And then I said, I'm not doing season four.
But I'm not doing season four. Actually, she was like, listen, she said, if you guys want to do it, I will, you know, maybe I'll help you guys on the back end, and it'll just be Damon. Bitch, we were actually trying to work through
Tony told
what
me that.
Season four looked like.
And I was just like, the Damon fuck, and she will be on the back end. She's not going to be nowhere. Fuck her.
Damon said, she wants to be out. She needs to be out. You're no, but out of it. You know what?
You know, before we move to the next type of question, there was one other thing that I think in that series of experiences, and I remember the conversation you and I had in the park. And I remember one of the things we were saying is just like, our friendship won't be what it was. Mm. But that doesn't mean that it can't be something better. Mm. And I think that to me was, I said that and I meant it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I think that we are, and still, I think we are getting back to each other. I think that we are getting back to, or like just like relearning the people we are today. And to the point I was making earlier, having a respect for the people we are today,
right?
Yeah. And not wanting to hold on to the friendship that was 19-year-old us, and that's or 25-year-old us, or even 30-year-old us 3 years ago. We were in such a different place than our lives 3 years ago.
Yeah, I think that's one of the biggest learning lessons, is being able to allow people to have the space and give them the grace to change and not box them into that person that you knew them to be. Mm-hmm. We are constantly evolving and changing. And so it's to the detriment of the individual who doesn't allow that to happen for someone else. And like, oh, I know you don't like this or X, Y, and Z. It's like, no, I didn't, but now I love this.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And can like, you, but you still have me in that place. And if you keep doing it, you, mm-hmm. you're continuing to drive a wedge between us and I'm distancing myself.
Right.
Right. So, we already talked about this a little bit, but, obviously with tensions in our friendship, we still have a show. And if you had a show, you would know, but you don't.
Okay.
So like,
nobody what... wants to fucking work.
Get up and fucking go to Kim fucking Kardashian. Work.
Nobody wants to work anymore. Get your fucking ass up and work. What effect has starting Surface Level, or even just like continuing to produce Surface Level, how has that impacted our friendships together? Damon?
Y'all, it's like having coworkers that you can't leave at the fucking office.
I knew he was going to say something like that.
That's a word.
You know, but what?
Because Damon, I mean, we look at it like a job, but Damon definitely looks like at the podcast, like, this is work.
No, but seriously, and like even with me moving out of the city, I think that it's made me hyper aware of making sure that we spend time just as friends.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much to do, like for the podcast, or just like, and we're super thankful for like opportunities that come up and all those things. But like, I don't want to fucking, every time we have to talk, it's about like a partnership or developing questions for a thing, or like what I gotta wear to this, or who I gotta email. I'm like, I don't want to fucking send an email.
Did you follow up?
Did you follow up? And this bitch over here, I'm pointing at Jordan. I don't know if we had a three screen on right now, but I'm pointing at you. But honey, she is like, it's like work. What I messaged in the group today, I'm scared anybody that ever has to work for her as their what? Manager.
No, I'm listen. Terrorist. I am very. I am
a terrorist. I got a terrorist hat on.
I have a. I have a project management background.
Oh, see, that's this already sounds like the bitch that I don't want to work for. The micromanager from hell.
I am not a micromanager. I just want to. If it's not getting, who's doing the work?
Let's just say, please see the notes I sent in the Slack. It's very. I'm like,
it was time sensitive.
The important production notes immediately. And if I don't get a response,
I will follow up via all the ways I can communicate with you.
We needed
I will
to
follow
know.
Up on Instagram, those on were, Slack, in were, text, via email, via the website.
Those were important production notes, and I needed to make sure it was time sensitive.
But yeah, I just think it's important. to make time for the friend part of all of this, because for me at the end of the day, that's what makes this special. Like, that's what makes it not just like three talking heads about a thing that someone plays together. Is that we chose to be together, mm-hmm. and there was a point in doing this where we were about to choose not to fucking be together. Mm-hmm. So now that we're doing that, it's important for me to like to water that, and to water the people that we are right now, and to learn each other in new and unique and fun and interesting, chaotic sometimes ways.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That's all.
This ain't 3LW.
This is not
okay.
3LW.
We did not audition to be on this show.
Oh my god.
We were friends, and then we decided to do a show.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I do think that the podcast has really allowed us to continue working on ourselves, mm-hmm. which is really one of the most beneficial parts of doing it. I feel like we're three different individuals, even over the course of the last 2 years.
Yeah.
After having started this journey together, and I really see the growth across all of us in different ways, and it's really beautiful to watch. It's really beautiful to be participating in and to experience and to see the milestones that we are hitting with each other and growing as friends and pushing each other. And that's leads me to my next point, which is accountability. I love, like, because we are doing this podcast, we also have jobs that keep us really busy, and we continue to make sure that we're checking on each other, which is important, and pushing each other and holding us accountable for like the things outside of the podcast that we need to be responsible for, or that we're saying we want to do this. And so we ask each other about those things. And having a business, first of all, this is a business. If you had a business, You would know what it takes to run one, but you don't. And having a business with friends can be tricky. And we've discussed this. And it's really shown me that I can actually count on you guys, like, for real. And and through going through this process, like, I can really sit here and call y'all my actual friends. So with that, I just say I love us for real, my sweet babies.
I mean, I think that starting this podcast, I love it. Like, it's been really, really valuable and really, really satisfying to just watch us sort of operate in a different way than I'm used to. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we've known each other since, like, you know, school days. Yeah. And we're beyond that point now. And to just see the both of you sort of, like, grow on the podcast, like, and have, you know, we're not people who just, like, speak for a living, you know. Mm-hmm. Like, we, like, mm-hmm. learned this on our own, and, like, was doing this on a single microphone in DeMond's living room. Mm-hmm. And to see us take it so seriously, even when it was, you know, 30 listeners a week,
right?
Mm-hmm. You know, or less. And to see everyone take it so seriously, even though, you know, some people may look at the platform and be like, oh, whatever, it's a flop. Let me not, like, bother with it. Mm-hmm. Like, everyone took it so seriously because everyone cared. Mm-hmm. And everybody knew that there was some value in it. And a lot of these conversations that we have, I don't think they would necessarily be conversations that we would have on our own proactively. Mm-hmm. Right. And it allows me to sort of, like, learn new things about you through the podcast. A lot of times mm-hmm. when I'm recording the podcast with you all, I'm learning brand new things about you all because, like, we're making a conscious decision to talk about this thing that we normally wouldn't talk about.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so because of that, it develops a stronger bond between me and you. You two. And also, like, I just think that had DeMond and I had gone through this experience and through this hardship in our friendship and not had to have had to meet every week, twice, three times a week, mm-hmm. I don't really know where our friendship would be right now.
Dead.
Oof.
You know, like, if we weren't forced mm-hmm. to be around each other to fucking do scripts
yeah.
or do social media or, like, figure out partnership planning, like, where would our friendship have been? Mm-hmm. Because somebody like me would have been like, oh, like, it got a little bit too hot and heavy. So I'm not really about to be around a person like that again until I get an apology. And mm-hmm. DeMond could have been just as stubborn because we're both stubborn people.
She wasn't going to apologize for nothing.
We're going to apologize.
And I feel like having the podcast honestly saved our friendship to an extent.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm happy that now that we have gone through 2.5 seasons of turmoil mm-hmm. that we both feel like we're in a good enough place to mm-hmm. even talk about this.
Yeah. And this a year ago.
And what the listeners are hearing right now, what the viewers are watching right now is a very, 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 very resolved version of what they could have seen.
Right.
Which wouldn't have been
helpful.
Yeah. Mm-mm. It was not a fun.
It wouldn't have been cute to, like, try and have that conversation while it was still
in the
thing, because it just would, child.
It was not time.
Y'all get to breaking up time. Things in this here studio now.
That would have. Like, how was recorded, child? I threw a spotlight across the studio.
Ripped it off the ceiling and threw it at Jordan. Now Jordan's calling the police.
Now Jordan's calling the police. And Tony's outside talking to the police, asking them not to arrest DeMond. And DeMond's still screaming and cursing.
Mm-mm-mm. DeMond, did you answer that question?
I did.
Good. So I like to make sure everyone, you know, says their part. But mm-hmm. now getting to...
On the other side.
The other side, right? Like, getting to moving ahead, moving forward. I'm curious about what each of us are doing to be a better friend today than we were when we were younger, or even when we were younger could mean yesterday. So, so what are we doing that's different now to help us be better humans to our friends? DeMond?
I'm one, recognizing how angry I can get, and not in any circumstance, really trying to be mindful to not just like go full scorched earth on anybody. Mm-hmm. Like, what? It's just like when you're that angry and you're spewing negativity to that extent, like, it's not helping me. They aren't hearing me.
Right.
And I think that I'm trying to be better about finding better ways to communicate frustration, disappointment, so on and so forth. Okay. And I would also say being very cognizant, and I think I've said this before, but just around the complexities of human beings, and trying to be mindful of all the things that make a person what they are, and what they are, from the most beautiful parts of them to the most terrible parts of them. Yeah. And understanding that any human being has all those things that makes them up. None of us are fucking saints. None of us are, or most of us aren't saints, and most of us aren't sinners all the time. Mm-hmm. And I think that we're all some amalgamation of those things. And for me, it's been really, it just, thinking back to that time in my life, I think that there were a lot of people that showed parts of themselves that I didn't expect to see. And like, I had to be open to receiving like the support and things I needed. And also, like, a thing that Jordan often says, like, learning to give people a bit more grace when like they maybe don't have the tools to do the thing that you expected of them.
Very true.
And I think that's all.
Okay. Jordan?
I think that the biggest takeaway that I want to move forward in implementing is just really understanding the importance of emotional support. I've discovered that
words are important.
My natural inclination when someone brings a problem to me is to figure out the quickest way to solve it. And I realized that that's not purely out of good spirit of wanting to find a solution. It's partly because I'm uncomfortable with people being in that state. And I want to figure out how to remove it as much as possible so that I'm not uncomfortable anymore. And I'm realizing that when you have, you know, close relationships with people, and when you have that level of intimacy and like trust with somebody, sometimes they just want to be vulnerable and just like feel the full spectrum of their emotions and just have you be there and be present and ask follow-up questions and be a shoulder and a listen, like an ear to listen. And so I'm learning that not only that's what I need to do to be a better friend, but I also need to be okay with doing that as well for myself. Because I think that anytime that I'm ever going through something that I feel distressed about, my immediate inclination is to shut down and to figure out what can I change in my life to make this problem go away as soon as possible. As opposed to like literally just sitting with my feelings and understanding what I'm going through and process it and like just kind of like be okay with that emotion at that time. Which I don't know if that makes any sense at all, but
it made a lot of sense.
But I think that
to me, I don't know about these other people.
No, I really had to think about that. I was just like, you know, like it's truly the result of a person who avoids emotions.
Yeah.
And so just like being a little bit more okay with not being okay.
Took the words out of my mouth. Yeah, I think for me, what I'm doing to be a better friend is going to therapy. I've started my therapy journey, and in order for me to be the best version of myself, I have to be fully aware of who I am, what my traumas are, what my triggers are, and learning more about myself so that I can show up and be there for someone else. And it's helpful, and I'm glad that this experience has pushed me to doing that, because I've been saying, I want to do this. And I finally like picked up the phone and Made a phone call, child. Dialed a number, child. Made
Changed
a phone
your life call. Forever, child.
And now it's getting like, okay, I'm on this ride. I'm learning about myself. I feel like I'm adulting and doing what needs to be done. And I also, part of my life's purpose is to continue being a better listener and trying to take a step back and allow other people the space to speak. Listen intentionally, you know, and absorb what's being said. Sometimes people don't necessarily want a response. Mm-hmm. They just want someone to be a soundboard to get things off their chest. And also check-ins. I've always not been the best with like just checking in on people, like slowing down a second and saying like, how are you actually doing? You know, and I think when you ask people that question, it's like, the floodgates of life. Yeah.
Because everyone's dealing with so much. Mm-hmm. Like, now that we're like older and in life, I feel like everyone who I'm speaking to and truly like having a genuine check-in with, not like, oh, how are you? Mm-hmm. Like a genuine check-in, everyone's overwhelmed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And everyone has a ton of shit going on. Mm-hmm. And yeah, no, I agree with that.
People are like, how are you doing? I'm here. I say that at work. I would say that I'm here at the podcast right now.
Not that response.
I'm here.
Damon, how are you doing today? I'm here.
I'm going to put Beyonce, I was here.
What's the first thing on the agenda?
but that's how I feel. Like, I'm just, you know what it is. But seriously, being here is a way that, like, helps me get from moment to moment.
Yeah.
Because if then I start to think about all the places where I have to be, mm-hmm, all the things that I need to do that I haven't done, it's overwhelming.
Oh, my God.
So all I can be is here. Mm.
And with that, that's all the time we have this week. If you enjoyed this episode, let's keep the conversation going. Let us know your thoughts and questions at surfacelevelpodcast.com. And remember, stay curious.